This is KTOO Juno. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, March 19th. I'm your host, Danny Bartholomew. On today's show, Dana Herndon and Jake Carpenter from the Juno Economic Development Council will be here to talk about Startup Weekend. We'll hear from Heather Parker at the World Affairs Council, upcoming forum at the University of Alaska Southeast. Anjay Petrovsky and Megan Busby of the UAS Mathematics Department will be here to highlight their upcoming public talks. And Tana Peters and Christy Chambor from KTOO's development team will catch up on spring events. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note, music and more, live and local here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Rallies were recently held across Canada against the proposed 60-scoop settlement. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, during the 1960s, thousands of Indigenous children were taken from their homes by the federal government.
Those children were then placed with non-Indigenous foster families across Canada and even outside the country, some as far away as New Zealand. In October, the federal government announced that it had reached a settlement of $750 million with some 20,000 survivors. Each would get about $25,000. It also includes a $50 million Indigenous Healing Foundation. But the deal has yet to be finalized, and some of the survivors are pushing back, saying the settlement does not include many Indigenous and Métis people. Nora Cummings is a Métis elder.
Métis seems to always be the forgotten, and we're not going to let this happen because we too suffered.
A network of Indigenous survivors says the settlement was reached without meaningful consultations with survivors. Across Canada, the rallies were more than just about the settlement and money involved. Thousands of Native children across the country, about 52%, are in foster care. Robert Doucette helped organize the recent rally in Saskatoon.
They took our kids away In the residential schools, and we were powerless. They came a second time and took our kids away during the 60 scoop, and we were powerless to do anything. And it's now the Millennium scoop. They're going through it again. Well, we're not going to be powerless. We're going to say stuff about this, and it has to stop.
Indigenous Affairs Minister Carolyn Bennett acknowledges that the 60s scoop is a dark chapter in Canada's history, and that there are other claims that have yet to be resolved. But she says the government is committed to resolving the issue, with the proposed settlement being a first step. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
There could be salmon above the Grand Coulee Dam this year for the first time in 70 years. That's according to leaders from the Confederated Tribes of the Colville in Washington State. As Emily Schwing reports, the tribe's Natural Resources Department plans to move the salmon by truck above the dam in early fall.
When the Grand Coulee Dam was built between 1933 and 1941, it effectively blocked salmon from traveling to the upper reaches of the Columbia River. But Cody Desitel says that could change early this fall.
So there was a lot of legwork that had to happen beforehand, like risk assessments and feasibility studies and habitat assessments, to know if we brought those fish back, would there be any negative repercussions. Most of that work is done. All of that work has said it will not, so now is the time.
Desitel directs the Natural Resources Department for the Colville Tribes. He says the plan hangs on one last federal permit from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. For years, the tribes have been looking for a way to return salmon above the dam. Michael Marchand is the chairman of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville.
When I was younger, I didn't think I would see those things.
He says his grandmother once pointed out the spot where his ancestors used to fish.
One time they lowered the water to work on the dam, and I was just a young child, and she said, "That spot on that rock in this island is our family's spot." And then I was thinking, like, why is she telling me this? This dam's going to be here for 1,000 years.
The dam remains, but if the final permit is approved, Colville fish managers will trap salmon at their hatchery and drive them around the dam by truck, where they'll be released back into the Columbia River. It's the next step in a decades-long process to reintroduce a viable salmon population on the river. I'm Emily Schwing reporting.
Over the weekend, Tohono O'odham leaders and officials from the Department of the Interior met in Arizona and discussed border issues. The tribe's reservation boundaries include more than 60 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border with tribal citizens who live on both sides. The Tohono O'odham Nation has long worked on border issues and opposes Trump's proposed border wall, citing a number of impacts, including environmental and cultural concerns. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Law Offices of Sanofsky Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at www.sanofsky.com.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is KTOO Juneau. Annie Bartholomew here with the Juneau Afternoon. In the studio today is Dana Herndon and Jake Carpenter from the Juneau Economic Development Council, here to talk about Startup Weekend.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Yeah, Startup Weekend. So
it's this weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah, it's on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a 54-hour event. And just like the name says, it's to go through some startup ideas. And both Jake and I have actually done a Startup Weekend before.
Yeah, it's a great event. It's one of our organizers likes to say it's encapsulating the first tumultuous 6 months of a company into 3 days. So
what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
you go from pitching your idea to finding a team to honing in your product, actually going out and talking to customers, and then coming back and sort of packaging it up and presenting it to the audience, and you do it sort of as an investor pitch. And it's all over 54 hours. It's sort of breakneck speed. One of the slogans of Startup Weekend, and it's internationally, this is no talk, all action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about people actually getting in there, developing products, working with each other. You know, there's room for product people, designers, presenters. There's always a spot for everybody on the team, and it's amazing what people can come up with in just 54 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the one I did in Anchorage was it was awesome. It was like super fulfilling. I've never done, I didn't pitch an idea, and I didn't have an idea to pitch. I just kind of wanted to go and check out and go through the process of helping someone else start their business. And it's pretty amazing. So definitely, if you have an idea or not, we recommend that, encourage you to check it out at least. I mean, you don't have to go with a business idea. You can just go and meet new people.
How did you guys come up with the idea to bring it to Juneau?
Well, I think we probably, it was one of those things that it was serendipitously, a whole bunch of different people were sort of working on it at the same time. So I grew up in Juneau, but I recently moved back from the Bay Area, and things like Startup Weekend happen somewhere in the Bay Area every month at least. And,
oh, all the time.
Yeah, and so I fell in love with the idea, and I had a great time, and actually that's how I got to know a lot of people that were in sort of my social circle down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always known that Juneau's a pretty entrepreneurial, special place, and so it surprised me that it hadn't been done here. So I started asking around to see if people would be interested, and it turned out I wasn't the only one, and I think JADC actually had an initiative to get it going.
Yeah.
So it was sort of serendipitous that we all ended up working on this.
Yeah.
What should people expect to bring, ideas or not, to this event?
Definitely expect to spend 54, like you're hunkered down for the weekend working on an idea with a small group of people. So definitely expect that one-on-one time with people that you may not know. Definitely expect to feel inspired. You can expect 7 meals.
Wow.
We do feed you the whole time. What else?
Well, one thing that is to expect a safe place to kind of be yourself.
Yeah.
One of the tenets of Startup Weekend is anyone's welcome to be there, sort of radical inclusion. And we've got people registered as young as 10 years old and well into their 60s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that any Startup Weekend you go to. You'll have kids and you'll have people throughout their careers and retired people and all sorts of skill sets. So expect to be a diverse crowd and to see a lot of different ideas there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the surprising things is that even though there are teams formed and it's a competitive event, the camaraderie is really strong. And a lot of people who haven't experienced that, I think that's something that they go and they experience, and that's a really surprising thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I met a bunch of new friends, like people I consider my friends. At the Startup Weekend I went to, I mean, Jake is in the process of starting a business with his startup team that that he met. So
yeah, tell me about that.
Well, you know,
if you're allowed to talk about it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's fine. No, when you go to an event like this, it's not everybody on our team, but the core group of us really sort of hit it off and found out that we had a good energy together and that our idea maybe had some legs. And so we're continuing to work on it, and we're meeting with mentors and investors throughout the state and finding that there is interest and that we had this initial experience to sort of bring us together and prove that we could work with each other. And it's really a leg up. You know, they say the hard work begins after the startup weekend, and that's true. But there certainly is a lot of evidence of good companies and great initiatives coming out of startup weekends all over.
And are you bringing any mentors or investors to hear these pitches?
Yeah, we do. Some of our mentors, we have Meiji Moore, so she's the owner of Juno Food Tours. We have Nigel Sharp. He's an entrepreneur in residence who's, I think, based out of Fairbanks?
Anchorage,
right. And he's from Europe. And then we have Max. What's Max's last name?
Max Gervitz. And yeah. He's a former entrepreneur turned investor, turned mentor, turned sort of startup guy in general. And he's really active in Europe and I think the Middle East, but he is starting to venture out more. And he's got a lot of experience sort of seeding and building entrepreneurial communities. So we're really excited to have him. He's got a really wide range of experience all over the world, and he's flying to Juneau for this event. Mm-hmm. And we also have a presenter that's going to do a workshop on design thinking, which is
isn't that Zach Wilkinson?
Yeah. And you know, it's a great way to look at how to develop businesses or your ideas. So we've got some really great content in addition to the free food and the business ideas. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question.
What's Juneau Economic Development Council's hope kind of for bringing this event to Juneau?
We hope it sparks just more like business thinking and then starting businesses. That's the ultimate goal is to really give people the chance to experience it, you know, in a condensed amount of time and to get people like hyper inspired and to know what resources are around them.
Will you guys be joining a team?
Maybe.
Yeah, I hope to. I think we'll be participating.
We'll definitely be there. Yeah.
We'll probably have to slip in and out of teams to get some stuff done. But yeah, I plan on participating. I think it's going to be a great event. So
you're bringing your daughter, right?
I am bringing my daughter. Yeah, absolutely. And she's super excited. It's spring break now, so that's kind of she's already preparing in her what she's going to work on.
Oh,
so
does she have an idea yet?
She has a couple. I think she'd get mad if I spilled the beans
on
her.
Come on.
But she has an Uber for yard work is kind of her.
What?
Her idea.
Does she have an app yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure by the end of the week, right?
That's such a good idea. And then you can rate your teenager.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's the...
missed a couple spots.
Yeah, right.
It's the good, the intersection of messy landscaping and idle teenagers, right?
So it's perfect,
perfect business.
The event's at UAS. So it'll be like on a school campus, and it's a great place to like to do this.
Plenty of parking.
Yeah.
And one thing we should mention: we're actually going to kick people out Saturday afternoon to get them out into the community talking about their ideas. That's part of the event is to get them actually talking to potential customers and deciding if their product is something that people are interested in. So that's kind of one of the fun pieces about it. And we have mentors and coaches that are going to help them work through the process of that sort of that customer discovery phase.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why it's really the perfect event for no matter where you are in you're going to learn something. You know, if you're a seasoned business person, you may learn a new way to solicit customer feedback. So,
or you may find a new co-founder of another business with you. I mean, when in Anchorage we called it co-founder dating because you know you can at least find someone you can do something with in the future.
Wonderful. So tell me the details and what time it kicks off this weekend.
Yeah, so it's going to be starting at 6 p.m., I would say sharp, but this is Juneau. So around 6 p.m. on Friday out at the university, and that's going to go till 10 p.m., and then it starts over again. We're going to start serving breakfast at 8 a.m., and the program starts at 9 on both Saturday and Sunday. And then on Saturday night, it goes till 10, and I think we're out of there by 8:30 on Sunday night. So it's all weekend, and we do kind of expect people that are going to be there for the whole time, though, you know, if you do have an appointment or something, that can be accommodated. It's at the Egan Classroom Wing. If you know, not sort of the library end, but the other end, we're going to be upstairs there. And there is a fee. It's a pretty low fee. For a student, it's $50, and for a non-student, it's $75. Yeah. But we do have a discount code for if people are listening. All one word, public radio, yeah. And that'll get you $15 off either of the tickets. And then I guess importantly, our website is go.startupweekend.org/Juno.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. Well, Facebook event at the JEDC Facebook page. We have Juno Startup Weekend event. So check out all the details.
Well, thank you guys so much for
thank
coming.
You.
Dana
Thanks.
Herndon and Jake Carpenter from the Juno Economic Development Council. See them both at Startup Weekend.
Support for KTO comes from listeners like you and from Wild Oven, delivering freshly baked bread to Foodland, Super Bear, and Rainbow Foods. Wild Oven, baking handmade organic sourdough in Juneau. More information at facebook.com/wildoven.
This is KTOO Juneau. Annie Bartholomew here with the Juneau Afternoon. Here in the studio with Heather Parker from the Juneau World Affairs Council with our upcoming annual forum.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Tell me about this annual forum. It takes place starting Thursday.
Yeah, so every year the Juneau World Affairs Council, and that's a local nonprofit that's committed to bringing speakers to Juneau to talk about various world events. Every year we have a forum. Usually it's in the fall, but this year we're actually going to have two. We're having one in March, and then we'll have one again this fall. And the March forum is focused on Europe. It's titled Europe, Allies and Alliances in a Turbulent World. And it starts Thursday night. It's at 7, Thursday night, March 22nd. It's at 7 p.m. in the Egan Lecture Hall. We also have speakers coming in and talking on Friday and on Saturday, also at the Egan Lecture Hall. And it should be a really great event.
What moved your organization to choose this topic?
Well, since with our new president and kind of different policies, we were really curious on Europe's reaction to various changes in the administration and looking at how Europe is changing its foreign policy and looking at international relations. This is specifically talking about defense, trade, social policy.
And where are you bringing these experts from?
Speakers are coming in from all over the United States. So our keynote speaker, which is on Friday night, his name is Dr. Terrence Hopman, and he's coming from Johns Hopkins University. But we also have speakers coming from all over the United States, and we have speakers coming from Canada as well.
Do you know what his keynote's going to be about?
Yes. So his keynote speech is entitled What Happened to Cooperative Security, the Rise and Fall of Post-Cold War Security Regime. And so it's all about national security.
Wow. It's, yeah.
We're also really trying to cater this event. Well, I want to mention that this event is free and open to the public. And we're trying to cater to university students and to anyone who might be interested. So a few topics that could be really interesting. We have a speaker from the University of Washington who's going to talk about Europe's climate policy. That's on Saturday. And his name is Dr. Jürgen Selle, who will be speaking. And that's from 1 to 2:15 at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. We also have a professor from the University of British Columbia. Her name's Dr. Coos, and she's talking about geopolitics, and she's a geography professor. And her talk looks really interesting. That's called Where's Europe's Powers, Transnational Standards, and Diplomatic Expertise in Brussels.
Are there any you're really excited about?
I'm really excited about the whole event. I think we have really high-caliber speakers who are coming, and just to have 8 speakers from the United States and Canada all in one place to share insight on social policy changes, especially in the context of our current U.S. administration, I think it'll be a really exciting event.
What made you become involved with the Juneau World Affairs Council?
Well, when I was in college, I studied Spanish and environmental studies, and I've personally traveled around the world, and I used to teach English as a second language and citizenship to people here in Juneau, and I'm really interested in learning more about other cultures and also just bringing free information to people and kind of bringing different people together. I think that's what excites me about it's learning more about other cultures, but also bringing people together.
Wow. Well, where can people learn more about the forum, see the lineup of people who are coming?
Yeah. More information is available on the Juneau World Affairs Council's website. That's JWAC.org. And the forum, again, it's free. It starts Thursday night. It's at 7 p.m. on Thursday. at the UAS Lecture Hall. On Friday, we've got sessions during the day starting at 1 o'clock going until 5:15. And then we also have our keynote speaker at 7 p.m., and that's Dr. Terrence Hopman. And then on Saturday, we have speakers starting at 9 a.m., and we conclude with a panel discussion, and that will be at 2:30, so the whole thing concludes at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Sounds like an action-packed weekend
for
you.
Yeah, it's going to be, it'll be really wonderful. We've got speakers from all over the place. And I also wanted to thank our sponsors. We have our season sponsors are AELNP, CoreAlaska, DreamHost.com, Hayton Associates, Sea Alaska Prospector Hotel, and the University of Alaska Southeast. And then we also have a bunch of organizations that donated gifts for our speakers. That's AELNP, Alaska Shirt Company, Alaska Brewing Company, Annie Kales, Aware, Barnacle Foods, Fred Meyer, Foodland, our legislative delegation, KTO, Red Dog, Sea Alaska, Taku Smokeries, The Canvas, and Travel Juno. And we're really excited to bring this event to Juno, and we hope you all come out.
Well, thanks so much for coming, Heather Stewart. Heather Parker, excuse me. Is there anything I forgot to ask you that you'd really like to mention?
I just want to mention again that this is a free event and everyone is welcome. And you don't have to stay for the whole time. You're welcome to come. If there's something particular of interest, you're welcome to just come for that one session. And more information's on the website at jwac.org.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shit.
This is KTOO Juno, Annie B. and the Annie Bartholomew here on the Juno Afternoon. We have Anjay Petrosky and Megan Busby of the UAS Mathematics Department here to highlight their upcoming public talk about soccer and math and how they work together. I'm so excited about this. Tell me more.
All right. Thanks, Annie, for having us here today. This Friday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. in the Egan Library at the University of Alaska Southeast on the Auk Lake campus, we're going to have a public talk that's going to relate mathematics, statistics, biology, and soccer. And so we have a speaker coming in from out of town, and that's Dr. Olcay Akman. He's the director for the Center of Collaborative Studies in Mathematical Biology at Illinois State University. The title of his talk is going to be, Why Should Every Soccer Coach Know Mathematics, Statistics, and Biology? And so the abstract that he sent to us was, what's the similarity between a slime mold colony and Dutch-style football? How is the Barcelona midfield linked geometrically? How did FIFA use expected values to change a long-established point system? Soccer is indeed a game of numbers, patterns, and shapes. The last several decades saw transformations in soccer to utilize mathematical modeling, which in turn renders itself as the applications of a host of biological systems. With this talk, we will shed light on individual plays, team strategies, and league performances from a mathematical and statistical point of view, and see how these mimic behaviors in biological systems.
Wow, that is a huge topic. Do you think he can get through it in like an hour, hour and a half? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the talk is probably going to be an hour long, so 7 to 8.
And why did you guys choose to bring him?
So we are recently a part of the Intercollegiate Biomathematics Alliance, and Dr. Akman is one of the founders of that alliance. And UAS is a part of that, and so we're bringing him up to get our students interested. There's a lot of really good perks for that for our students. So students can take different courses from any of the universities that are in the alliance. And actually right now I'm teaching a class about statistical computing in R. So the programming language of R is a free program. And there's two students from the University of Illinois that are taking that. And they're taking it for almost nothing. And our students can do the same thing with other universities. So we're just trying to promote that new alliance and all of the benefits that our students can get through that. It's also just to promote education and research in biomathematics. We have a really strong pure math program at UAS, and this is a really neat way to get students that are excited about math or biology or environmental science, just to give them more access to biomath problems and courses around the country.
What is pure math for folks who don't know the math jargon these days?
Sure. Yeah. Pure math is more a focus on the theoretical results. And so it's trying to create new mathematics and prove that new things are true and new formulas and things like that. Whereas applied mathematics is taking those ideas and applying them to real world settings.
And what's your expertise within mathematics?
I do a little bit more applied math and mathematical modeling. I did a decent amount of work on disease modeling and population modeling. I'm teaching a math modeling class this semester, and we're doing stage and age structured models at the moment. So, that and then error analysis is kind of my two fields.
And I'm more of a pure mathematician, and my subfield in there is a field called complex analysis, and that's doing calculus with numbers where you're allowed to take the square root of a negative, and so that's like the number I. You may have heard of it. And what I typically do in my studies is I look for zeros of functions, and so like the classic quadratic formula that you might have learned in school is a good example of that. And so I'm always looking for zeros, and so you could say that I study nothing. But it's actually really more involved and has a lot of applications.
So who are you hoping comes to this talk?
We're hoping that anyone in the public who's interested in mathematics, statistics, biology, or soccer would come to this talk and learn how they might be related to each other.
And you're also doing some exciting stuff with the math club at UAS.
Yeah, we have a math club at UAS. It meets twice a month, and we're always looking for speakers. This Friday, Dr. Ackman is also going to be speaking in the math club at 4 p.m., and that'll be focused for UAS students. And then he's giving the public talk later on. But in general, we're always looking for speakers, so if anyone has a good idea for a math talk that they'd like to give to our students, we're always looking for that. I would be a good contact for that. So my name is Andrzej Piotrowski. My number is 796-6423. And so anyone interested could give me a call.
And give me the details one more time for the event taking place.
Sure. The event is happening this Friday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. in the Egan Library at the University of Alaska Southeast in the Auk Lake campus.
And is there anything I forgot to ask you that you'd like to mention?
Come to UAS, study math, and if not, just come to our cool talks.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Bird Thanks. Notes next.
This is Bird Note. Remember the World War I movies with the rumble and crash of artillery? The doughboys in their trenches, anxiously awaiting word of the attack. And then the messenger pigeon fluttering to the lieutenant's hand with vital news. Today, messenger pigeons are called homing or racing pigeons. Pigeon fanciers, who also call themselves flyers, race specially bred homing pigeons over distances up to 600 miles. These stalwart and intelligent birds course the skies at speeds greater than 60 miles an hour. A young bird flying home to a loft in Norfolk, Virginia, earned a record by covering more than 250 miles at an average speed of more than a mile a minute, at times exceeding 70 miles an hour. How did they find their way? They draw their position from landmarks and the sun, as well as from their keen sense of smell and hearing. They're also capable of navigating using the Earth's magnetic field. However they do it, there's something deeply appealing for birds and people of finally finding your way home. To learn more about the amazing abilities of birds, find your way to birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Our next speaker is Riley Woodford. Riley moved to Juneau in 1985. Like most folks in their mid-20s in downtown Juneau, he shared houses with housemates in close quarters living while enjoying the wide open spaces outdoors. He loved the old houses built close together on streets so steep that the sidewalks are staircases. In 1992, he moved into a small, uniquely situated barn red house on 3rd Street, beginning a chapter in a tale of close quarters living that you will hear tonight. Riley.
So for 12 years, I lived downtown next door to the Bergman Hotel. The Bergman Hotel is a boxy, four-story hotel on the corner of 3rd and Harris. And I lived right next door to it. The houses were really close together. It was built on the property line. And if you walked from my front yard to the backyard between the buildings, you could touch both buildings all the way back. It was like a short hike through a slot canyon. And if you stood in my backyard and looked up, there were 18 big windows, big curtainless, screenless windows. 9 of them were above my roof and 9 of them were above my backyard. And if you were up, say, on the 4th story, looking out of one of those windows, you didn't even see my house down below. You just looked out over town and the harbor, and if you flicked a cigarette, it would fly completely over my roof into my neighbor's yard. But if you dropped something, it would go, you know, down onto my roof or into the slot canyon or maybe into my backyard. So I know, you know, some people in this room have maybe peed off of a dock or a deck. Or maybe some of you have even peed out of the 4th-story window of a hotel onto the asphalt shingle roof of a house 25 feet below. And it's really loud. It's really loud. But if you're in that house, under that roof, it's like somebody is running a garden hose on a drum head. So that was my first introduction to the things that would come out of the windows of the Bergman. So there was a restaurant in the back of the Bergman on the first story, Pat's Grub Steak. So the week I moved in October of 1992, the deep fat fryer broke down in the Grub Steak. And it was about the size of a dorm fridge. So it fit through the window, and they pushed it out the window into the backyard. And that was how I met Pat. I went over and said, hey, could you come and get this deep fat fryer? And I got the answer that I would get for the next 12 years, the answer that anyone in the neighborhood, everyone got anytime we went to the Bergman and asked anything, and that was, sure. And then nothing would ever happen. So after about 4 months, a friend came over, and we pulled that thing out of the big puddle of coagulated grease, drug it around the back of the hotel, and leaned it up against the side of the building with all of the other broken appliances and soggy mattresses that had been leaned up back there. So now I had this big puddle of coagulated grease to deal with, and all of this other organic matter that was raining out of those windows. So I just composted it. I just thought, I'll make a compost. And so I shoveled in half-eaten ramen and regurgitated takeout and condoms and everything. And there were things that were lost out of the windows, too. Like, I composted cocaine and I composted Dear John letters. Everything went into the compost. But it wasn't all bad. I found a $100 bill once in the backyard. And one time, an unopened bottle of Crown Royal in a little purple velvet bag survived the fall. So eventually, Pat's Grub Steak closed and things quieted down a little bit. But people still sometimes, you know, pushed all of the furniture in their room out the windows. Those big, screenless, curtainless windows. They just tied the whole neighborhood together in a, this is a big fishbowl and somebody should change the water sort of way. But the water never changed. We just got new fish all the time. Different new fish. And on the other side of the Bergman, right, the uphill side, there's another 18 windows. And the people over there, they look down into the windows, and they saw things that they'll never unsee. And at the top of the Third Street stairs, they actually could look down on the roof of the Bergman and wonder things like, why is there an entire moose carcass on the roof of the hotel? And we, you know, we lost parking spaces to the same burned up couches, and we walked around the same broken hot water heaters, and I was just the closest cleaning up when ravens managed to push the moose bones off the roof. So this one January, there was about 2 feet of fresh snow downtown. And my wife worked evenings at the newspaper at the Empire, and she called at 10:45 and said, I'll be home at 11. So just as I hang up the phone, I hear this woman's voice, and she goes, woohoo! And then I hear this dude go, say it again, baby. And she goes, woohoo! And I go into the bathroom, and I slide open the bathroom window, and I look up, and in the fourth story window up there above me, there's a woman sitting in the windowsill, and she's looking, she's facing into the room, but I can see the back of her head, and she's leaning back. And then I can see her back, you know, and she's leaning way back. And then I see her waist. She's leaning way back, and it's pretty obvious she's going to come out of the window, and she does. So she falls out the window and hits the roof, boom, right above my head. And then boom, 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 she rolls down through the snow and bam, there she is, laid out, half naked, in the Slot Canyon, in the snow, completely KO'd. So I can tell you now that, you know, nothing was broken. She was just stunned. She was fine. So the windows slide up in the Bergman and people are calling 911. And then this guy comes down and he's like, got a lighter, right? And he's waving it in her face. He's going, hey, baby, are you okay? And he's shaking her and stuff. And I'm like, don't shake her, don't shake her. Just get a blanket, put a blanket on her. So then all of a sudden there's lights flashing off the side of the building and everything. And paramedics come and they come down through the Slot Canyon with a stretcher and they put her on it and strap her down. And she starts swinging and stuff, yelling, Mose, Mose, what's happening, Mose? So Mose is gone. And the paramedics are looking at me like, and then there's a knock at the door, and I go, and it's the police, right? And they want to know if she was pushed out the window. And I said, well, yeah. she was pushed out the window, and, well, was it intentional? And I said, well, no, I'm sure it wasn't intentional. And he's like, okay, fine. So I shut the door, and I'm just standing there in the living room looking at the door, and my wife walks in, and she says, what? I was like, a lot can happen in 15 minutes. Thank you.
Here's a recipe for great radio. Take some folk, add a little swing, mix in a dash of country. Tune your radio to 102.7 Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 with me, C. Scott Fry. You're guaranteed a tasty blend of tunes that'll keep your toes tapping and your knees slapping. Fry's the limit. Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 on listener-supported radio, KRNN-FM.
This is KTOO Juno, Annie Bartholomew here on a Juno afternoon with Tana Peters and Christy Chambor from the KTOO development team.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah.
Tell me what's new in the world of development and fundraising.
Oh my goodness, Annie. So many things.
I'm new.
Yeah, Tana's new. This is our newest thing.
Hi, everyone.
Tana, you just joined the team earlier this month.
Yes. I came on board on the first of this month, so we've been hitting the pavement hard since I got here.
And what did you do before you joined our fundraising squad?
You know, you may have seen me out and about town in the world of graphic design. I did a lot of graphic design around town. I had a great partnership for a while with Alaskan Brewing Company. I still work with them and did some marketing for them for a long time. I also am a knitter, so you may have seen me out in the community knitting on occasion. And I actually had the opportunity to work for the museum and right before they, or as part of the team for the new state museum. So I kind of dabbled in a lot of areas, but mostly marketing and graphic design. And so I'll be bringing that to the team here.
We're really excited.
And you said that you listen to public radio while you knit.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the most public radio activity.
I know. I'm pretty cool. I listen to public radio while I knit and while I run. I mean, that's next level, right?
It's pretty devoted. Are you drinking tea while doing these activities?
I'm really slow at everything I do. I'll say that. It's very mellow.
Is there a better program for knitting or running?
You know, I'm an equal opportunity programmist, but I do love all things considered. I'm a like weekend radio gal. I like it all.
Yeah. Weekend lineup on point.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
So tell me what's new in the development office. You just had a killer art glasses.
We did with Bronze Betty Finery, and we're getting ready. So tickets for members go on sale this Thursday for April's art glasses, which will be floral crowns with Deborah from Martha's Flowers and Gifts. She's pretty fantastic. It'll be over at TK McGuire's, and then general public sales will start on March 29th.
How did you guys decide on the activity?
Well, we were kind of inspired by Folk Fest in spring and graduations and weddings and all things coming up that might require a floral crown. I mean, I just want one for my real life. But, it just seemed really fitting this time of year. And she was totally game for it. So we made it happen.
How did that partnership come about between you and the Arts Council?
The truth? Yeah. We were, Megan and I were on like a, we were doing, presenting at a luncheon for Travel Juno, actually, about our meeting spaces. And we were on like a boat. And she's like, I want to do these art classes. And I'm like, I'm in. I'm like, we'll do it. Like, let's just make it happen. That was all she said. And then we, from there, just like started piecing it together. And no surprise, because this community is pretty wonderful, as we were like putting feelers out, like, oh, we want to host these art classes at your bar, your restaurant. People were just
on board and supportive, and to the point where like we almost had like a full year's worth of classes in front of us, and we didn't know if it was like too much, too little. So we're kind of we started doing them one by one, and then we expanded to a series, and now we're looking forward to expanding what the series is, which is exciting. So adding more lifestyle type elements and stuff. So not just art and crafting, also some skills, like lifestyle skills. So we're working on that now, and
Any spoilers?
No, I can't. I'm sorry. Man. I'm sorry, everybody.
Side note,
just know it's coming.
This is Tana. I was a teacher, an art glasses
you
teacher.
Were.
Before
we did painted
I worked
growlers.
For KTOO. I painted growlers. I taught that class. So
was
I was
really
part
good.
Of it. I had my fingers in there. It's exciting.
Are there any avenues you're hoping to get into?
Well, we are sort of putting together now like a finale to the art glasses part of all of this. We're working on that. And we want to incorporate wine and something wine related. But that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
So something is coming wine related soon.
I like the idea of a cooking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Christy.
Is this
I'm
you're
planting
chime
that.
In? Okay.
I would like to take that class. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Flower Crowns during the Folk Festival, TK
April 12th, McGuire's. Yep, 5:30 p.m. Again, tickets for members of the JAC or KTOO can start purchasing tickets this Thursday, and then general public can start on March 29th. Join us. Yeah.
And only rules fools run at midnight.
Yeah, only fools run at midnight is it's coming in a bit. So it's... on solstice, as we all remember, or it's actually on June 23rd. So that's on the Saturday after solstice. The solstice this year is on a Thursday. So it's great. You can go have your solstice party on Thursday, and then you can come be a fool and run with us. And we are looking at shaking it up a little bit. We're trying to focus it on what we do here at KTOO. So we are looking at making a little bit of changes, but keeping, you know, the wonderful event we all know and love. And we're pretty excited to offer sponsorship opportunities for a limited number of folks, companies, if you're interested in that for your corporation or what have you. You can give us a ring here at the station and see if that is a match for us, because we will have a limited number of those, and we're kind of starting to hit the ground rolling really quick here. So
it is. It's a great way to reach like a real concentrated amount of folks. I mean, they had mm-hmm. over 400 folks.
Yep. Last year was around 400. And it kind of depends, but we've had really good attendanceship from this event over the years, and it's kind of changed hands from different people. So KTOO is looking to really make it our own this year and see what we can do to make sure we put our stamp on it and that folks have fun when they come down and run in the pseudo darkness.
Right. I'm putting a call out to all moms who haven't run.
Ooh.
In a long time.
Moms on the run.
Moms on the run, like me. Yeah, we can be a team. Let's do it. Yeah. I need all the support I can get if I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, I'm really excited about trying to get the couch to 5Kers. This is a thing that I have learned. you go from the couch to a 5K. You can do it. 5K sounds so far because there's
it's like
of the Ks.
2.5 miles.
But it's only like 3 miles.
I'm on team couch right now.
Yeah, you're on team couch. So
do you want to be on my team?
You can be on team 5K.
Really? Yeah. I mean, we accept everybody. I don't want to, it's not just for moms. Anybody that just needs to get out
Is
and run.
Is it a relay?
Needs support. No relaying. You got to run the whole thing.
But, you know, there's also the 1 mile option. So 5K, too daunting for you. Don't worry. We still have a 1 mile. We're going to have fun costume participation, maybe some glowing. I don't know. We're looking at fun things.
Yay. I'm excited.
Where can folks learn more about art glasses and happenings and potentially OFRAM?
So I would get updates for art glasses at jhc.org under events. There is a tab there with a beautiful page with all of the details about art glasses. You can also give me a call, 463-6419. I'm always happy to answer any questions about that. And for
Only Fools Run at Midnight.
If you have any questions or want to connect about Only Fools Run at Midnight, I would suggest shooting me an email. That would be the easiest way to start. And my email is tana@ktoo.org, tanna@ktoo.org.
Well, I'm super excited for Flower Crowns, Christy Chambor, and Tana Peters. Thank you so much for coming in on Juno Afternoon.
Thanks, Annie.
Thank you.